Well, it's great to be here this morning to see some familiar faces, some new ones too. So praise the Lord. Just firstly, before I begin, I just want to really thank the church for praying for us. We this thing is, I don't know if I've got it right, but Joe, you might need to come and do some magic on this thing. It feels kind of loose, but... Yeah, just thank you for praying for us. I know that many Wednesdays you guys pray for us. I've been traveling a lot and some very unusual places and caught some strange diseases and other things, but really appreciate the prayer that's been offered up for us. We feel it. We experience it. We know the blessing of the prayers of the saints, and just really want to express thank you, brother. Really want to express our love for you. You know, just incredible love in our hearts for each one of you, for your families, and just it's really, really nice to be home. Really good to be here this morning. And also thank you for the financial support for many years. I'm no longer with GACX. I'm full-time at Grace Church. But thank you for supporting us as missionaries. And just really, really, really appreciate it. I know that words are insignificant in some ways, but I just want to try and express the love in my heart for each one of you, and the deep thankfulness and gratitude that it is to be part of Bethel Fellowship Church. So thank you. It's great to see you all this morning. It's great to worship together. I want to share a little bit about some of the travels that I've been doing, and just kind of honoring you for praying for us. I want to first talk a little bit about France. We went to Paris over Easter. I led a team of about 23 people to Paris. We did a lot of street ministry. We did preaching on the metro, which is illegal. We did a lot of Muslim outreach, which can be a little risky. And at the end of the week, I got to debate two imams. And Matt, I don't know if you can fire up the picture of those two guys I debated. But this was Karim and Mustafa in the hood. These guys are radical Muslims. The brother here on the left who's smiling is called Saeed. He's a missionary that Grace Church supports, and he invited us to come over, asked me if I would debate them. And he works for Campus Crusade. He's their Paris director. And so I debated these two clerics. They have a school, an Islamic school, where they train young men to be radical Islamists. When we got there, we had the army were there to protect us and kind of make sure things weren't getting too out of hand. But I had a three-hour debate with these two guys, and the question was, who is the hope of humanity, Jesus or Muhammad? So that was really a fun subject to debate. So I met with Dave. You guys know Mike and Bonnie's son, David. I met with him just before we left. We had a day of prayer and fasting. And David said, Steve, stick to your point. Stick to what you know. So I thought, well, I'm not an expert in Islam. I mean, I've studied it and I've been trying to prepare for this debate. But I know the Lord Jesus, I know what he's done in my life, and I know what the gospel can do, and I know what the gospel is. So I stuck to the gospel. I had half an hour to preach the gospel, and we go through at Grace Church, we teach evangelism training, G-O-S-P-E-L, so it's memorable, but God created us with purpose and destiny for his glory. O, our sins separate us from God. Everyone's sinned and fallen short of his glory. S, sins cannot be atoned for by good deeds. Every other religion believes that you have to work to earn salvation. We know that we're saved by grace. P, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. And E, everyone that trusts and believes in him has eternal life. And L, life begins now and lasts forever. So I got half an hour to preach the gospel. I went through every point with scriptures and very, very, just really felt God's presence. And I just knew that people were praying for me. I could feel it. I had total peace. I wasn't anxious or frightened. Some people were saying, well, Steve, aren't you worried? Aren't you scared? And I just felt God's peace just settle in my heart. I got up really early that morning. I was going to go through my notes again and just kind of bone up on all the points of Islam that I didn't like and didn't agree with. But really felt that God wanted me to stick to the gospel. And so I went through and preached for half an hour on the gospel. It was, there is a video on Facebook if you're interested. It's kind of long and probably a bit boring, but, and my interpreter said to me, he said, Steve, this isn't like an ordinary debate. He said, I get it. You're just preaching the gospel. And I said, well, my friend, that's all I know. So that's what I'm going to stick to. So he went back and he had half an hour to argue with me and refute what I had said about Jesus. So he got very angry and very passionate. And so Manjit took a group of girls outside and they were praying around the building. We had a group praying in Minneapolis as well at the same time. And I'm sure there are probably people praying here as well. But as he began his presentation, he lost his way. He lost track of what he was saying. He became confused and angry. And he said, I don't even know why I'm telling you this story. I'm so confused. And it was really an answer to prayer. And this happened a number of times during the debate. And so that was the first hour. The next hour I got to, we had 10 minutes. So I had 10 minutes. He had 10 minutes. And I kind of riled him up a little bit because he kept talking about Jesus. And so I said to him, I said, my friend, you keep talking about Jesus, but we've not heard why Muhammad is the hope of humanity. And so then I preach about Jesus again. And then he'd get the microphone back. And then he'd start in about how Jesus was bad. And I said to him a second time, my friend, we still haven't heard why Muhammad is the hope of humanity. And he'd get mad again and talk about Jesus and then he'd forget to talk about Muhammad. So the third time I got up, I said, look, obviously our friend is not going to tell us why Muhammad is the hope of humanity. But this is why Jesus is the hope of humanity. And I went back through the gospel again. So he got angry again. And it was really an amazing experience. And just really thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for loving us and sending us. It just, it really is a blessing to know that there's a church praying for us and rooting for us and loving us, even from a distance. So thank you. I'm going to show you a little video clip. Matt, did you manage to get it or not? Okay. All right. Well, about halfway through the debate, they had mid-afternoon prayers. So all the women had to stay in. There was some women who were, with the hijab and the burqa, that they had to stay in where we were. And then the other, it should be on that Google Drive if you found it. Okay, great. So the other men or the Muslim men went out for afternoon prayer, and so our team, Amy and Ellie and Isaac and Manj were with us, and we decided to sing. So this is a clip of the men who were praying. This was in it's like a church building like this. They went outside here to the courtyard. So they were saying their prayers here. And we decided to sing and worship the Lord. And it just, the difference between religion and life was just so obvious. In this video, it might take a few minutes, but it's worth a watch because, we don't have to pray in prescribed fashion. We don't have to pray five times a day. We're supposed to pray without ceasing, right? But these are all the Muslim men you see here on the left. This is Kareem and Mustafa was at the front leading the prayer, and so we asked Amy to lead the song that we sang this morning. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. And we began singing, and I think the young people were a little bit intimidated at first, but as they sang, God's presence just seemed to come in a special way, and fill the room where we were debating. And they began to worship Jesus. So let's I'll maybe move on a bit. We'll wait for that to download. It's really amazing. But one of the things that I would like to speak about this morning is the power of the gospel. And I'm also going to show you a little video from Nepal. But if we go to Romans chapter 1 verse 16, it's a very familiar. Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you Lord, I ask you this morning to use me for your glory. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me. And I ask you, Father, to encourage us that the gospel that you've entrusted to us is powerful. It's mighty for the pulling down of strongholds, for setting captives free, for bringing sight to the blind. So, Father, this morning I pray that you would fill us and energize us with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd challenge us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you got it? Okay, great. Fantastic. Amen. Wow. I love that. You're a good, good Father who loves us the way that we are. We don't have to earn His favor. Now, in the Quran, there's not one single place that says that God is love. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Brothers and sisters, we have got the greatest message. Amen. we have the most wonderful news that God loves us, that He sent His Son Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, to die on the cross for vile, filthy wretches like us. And His blood is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no sin that we've committed that He can't forgive. We've got the greatest news in the world that Jesus is alive. The grave couldn't hold Him. The tomb could not contain Him. It says in Acts chapter 2 that it was impossible for death to hold Him. Colossians 3, He triumphed over all the principalities and powers and rose again. Amen. And He's seated at the Father's right hand. In Hebrews 7:25, it says that He's able to save us to the uttermost. Those who come to God through Christ Jesus. We've got the greatest news in the whole world. That Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Saves people like us, wretches, vile sinners. Forgiven and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And then indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So that we can be ambassadors for Christ. The fragrance of Christ. In a world that desperately needs some good news. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed to tell Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That Jesus saves. That God is real. Secular humanists in Paris, we preach the gospel in the metro and wow, people get angry. A woman came up to me and began shouting at me, saying that I had no right to try and proselytize. And she was speaking in French. So I wasn't totally sure what she was saying. I just could tell that she was very angry. That's kind of an international thing, right? You can tell when people are angry. And so I tried to tell her, but this is really good news. She didn't really seem to think so. But guys, we have got the greatest message. And God has entrusted us to be His ambassadors. He doesn't have a plan B. We are the plan. His church is the plan to transform society and change the world. That God wants to so use us for His glory. As His ambassadors in a broken world, that things begin to change. I want to show you a video of, I just got back from Nepal about a month ago. It took 13 guys to the East Himalayas. Adam was with us. And then we actually had 26 on the team. But the other one of the other pastors led the other group to the West. And we were in villages that many of them never heard the name of Jesus. We were, if you know your Himalayan mountains, we were in the foothills of Makalu, which is the fifth highest peak in the Himalayas. Very, very poor people. There were some villages that had churches, but many of the villages had never heard the name of Christ. And so we went up there. We went two by two, so one Nepali brother, one American brother, and we camped, we backpacked in. I think I shared about it before when we went up last time, so you guys kind of know how we do that. But it should be on that. You got it, Matt? Yeah. But anyway, we took. We were there for about a week. Five nights and 6 days on the mountain.
Welcome to Extreme Team 2018. Let's get rolling.
There's a mountain here before me, and I'm gonna climb it with strength not my own. And He's gonna meet me where the mountain beats me. Carry me through.
You know, there were a number of amazing experiences that we had here, but I think probably the most extraordinary was earlier today, standing in the rain and sharing with a mother and daughter pair, and having the mother accept Christ and immediately talk about sharing the love of Christ with now her 10 sons and daughters. And you got the sense that she was so excited about Jesus that she was just going to go and take over her entire village.
Mm-hmm.
message in 1 John 1. I feel great. I'm going home to see my wife after 2 weeks. Actually, no, 3 weeks. I've been away from her, so I'm feeling really good right now. Mission accomplished. We shared the gospel with hundreds of people. Many, many people responded to the message of the gospel. I think one of my favorite things was yesterday we shared with a young girl who's 15, who was just working and doing her chores at home. And she just lit up when we shared the gospel and said yes. She wanted to pray to receive Christ. She put a head covering on, a headscarf, which is traditionally what they do here when they pray. And it was just, it was really, really precious.
The beautiful faces that we met along the way, and building family here in the brotherhood.
There's a lot of memories, so many I can't begin. But I'm going to go with the last person that we brought to Christ. It was a early 90s year old woman.
I'll drive up there,
and yeah, that'll be the greatest memory. To rely on him and his power. That's probably, there's a number of things, but that would be the most important.
Yeah, I'm feeling blessed with you and this team. Best memory is hiking, carrying your backpack.
You know, I thought I was wiped out on day one, but each day God provided the strength and got better and better every day. My biggest memory was the decision a man made for Christ today. He was 69, soon to be 70 year old. He said he's going to die soon. And he didn't know the Lord. That number one thing, you know, was worth the trip right there.
There's a river here before me, and I'm gonna cross it with strength on my own. He's gonna save me when the river takes me and carry me through and carry me through. But Lord, be gentle. Just a man. Please don't crush me.
Please don't crush
me.
The
heavenly
end. Take home with you.
The best memory I have is sharing the gospel with this three teenage girls, and there's one that I got to see the Holy Spirit just wash over her.
There's a singing here before.
Carry me through, oh Lord, be gentle.
church at noon. I get up at 2 in the morning, and I have to use the bathroom. I'm sleeping over there, and I go to use these doors, and I am pulling, pushing. I cannot get the door open. Pushing as hard as I can. Nothing's happening. So I go over to that door, and I push all of Steve's stuff out of the way, and I get out the door, only to come back here and figure out this door pulls in.
Carry me through.
So if anybody wants to come on a trip, you're welcome to join us. We're going to take 2 trips next year, and we're even taking a women's trip. So, hey, if you want to go and see some mountains and see the gospel change some villages in the Himalayas, you're welcome to join us. But you need to be in shape, though, so you'll have to, Bob, you'll have to work out a little bit first. Well, praise God. The gospel is powerful, and you know, it's amazing seeing God move in different countries around the world. But what about here in America? We desperately, desperately need a move of the Holy Spirit in our country, don't we? Yeah. We are seeing evil in unparalleled ways, maybe more than any other time in our history. We're seeing the church decline. We're seeing God's people become enamored with possessions and things rather than enamored with the giver himself. We're seeing, our economy is doing well, but spiritually we are in a desperate condition, aren't we? We desperately need God to awaken his church and change our nation. So how's it going to happen? How's God going to change the spiritual atmosphere of our nation? And if this is true, what Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that Christians are ashamed, aren't they? Do you know that most Christians die without ever leading anybody else to Christ? That's a real indictment upon us, isn't it? Many Christians don't read the Bible. So Matt, can you pull up that picture of those two clerics that big picture, those two clerics that I debated? Many Christians don't read their Bible. I don't know if you can see, but can you guys see the Bible on this table? Maybe you guys at the front, maybe you can't see it. But there we go. You see the tabs in that Bible? That man is a Muslim cleric, and his Bible was tabbed, highlighted, color-coded, underlined. I mean, he knew the Bible. And I argued for a couple of hours after the debate with some of his disciples, and they said, we love to destroy Christians' faith. It's one of the things we like to do. We know the Bible better than most Christians. They said, you're not like most Christians, you know the Bible. But we can prove to most Christians what we believe through using the Bible. And they have no argument for us. But you're different because you know the word. You know the Bible. They didn't say the word, they said the Bible. We're in a time when many people never even read their Bible from week to week. We need God to awaken the church. Let's look at Acts 1, verse 8. Actually, let's go to Matthew 28. We'll just go there first. It's a very familiar passage, but let's just turn there quick. Matthew 28:19. We call this, don't we, the Great Commission. You know that Jesus had 2 great commandments in Matthew 22, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then just as Jesus was leaving, he said this, didn't he? He was on the mountain, they worshipped him. And Jesus said, 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And many times, it's not the Great Commission, is it? It's the Great Omission. We don't even go to our neighbors and tell them, let alone going into all the nations, into all the world and preaching the gospel. I believe that this commandment needs to be remembered by the church in America and by us. That God has called us to be his ambassadors. He's given us the greatest message of hope. And yet so often we're so frightened, we're so scared and intimidated to share with people about Jesus. American Christianity has become a lot about knowledge acquisition. We know a lot of stuff. We can argue theology. We can quote the 5 points of Calvinism and try and argue with people why or why we don't believe them. But what do you think is more important, knowledge acquisition or application? I mean, if we're not applying the things that we know, then we're really missing the point, aren't we? If we're just trying to gain more understanding, more theological awareness, but we're not applying it to our lives, we're really missing the point. And I say this to myself as well, that God wants us to go and share the gospel with people. Maybe this is more important than even figuring out all of our theological tweedledums and tweedledees. That we would go and share the good news with people. Because it's really simple, isn't it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to give you a loving challenge this morning. I'm challenging myself as well. But so much of our Christianity is about us. It's about what we want. It's about what we need, but God has called us to go and share the good news. And it's not an optional thing that he said, isn't he? He said, he didn't say, if you feel like it, or if you get time, or if you're really a burden by it. No, he commanded us. Jesus came and commanded them and said, look, I've got all authority in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples. It's interesting, he doesn't say go and build churches. Churches are a good thing. They're helpful and useful as tools, aren't they? But he didn't, that's not our primary calling. Our calling is to go and make disciples. Let's go to Acts 1 verse 8. Because he doesn't just call us to do it, but he gives us the power to obey. In Acts 1 verse 8, just before Jesus left, just before he ascended back to heaven, he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. And when we think about the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church, what's the first thing that the disciples did? They told everybody. Right? Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and they were propelled out of those doors of the upper room, weren't they? And onto the streets and began sharing the good news of Jesus. And people said, wow, are you guys drunk? I mean, it's early in the morning. What's happening? And Peter, just 50 days before, Peter, the one who denied Christ 3 times, twice to a little servant girl. Peter, now he's filled with the Holy Spirit, is a bold witness, isn't he? Preaching and proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord to the crowds in Jerusalem. We know that 3,000 people got saved. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. To make us bold witnesses of what God has done in us. Amen? Amen. Bold witnesses. And I just confess that I have not been a bold witness to Jesus. I repent of it. My passivity. I have so many regrets of my passivity living here down the street. And I tried to share with my neighbors a number of times, but I easily gave up. I wish I'd been more persistent. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just fill us to make us holy, does he? That's part of it. He says, you will receive power to be my witnesses. The word there in the Greek means martyrs. It means it might cost us our lives. You saw the joy in that little church building where they had one light bulb. That was a Christian village way up in the mountains. And they came, and we weren't supposed to meet that night. It was an extra meeting, and they meet a lot. So they said, I don't know, the pastor said, I don't know who's going to come. And people came and filled that little building, and we began to sing and worship, and they were rejoicing and dancing and praising the Lord. That's illegal what they were doing. There's a new law in Nepal that if you get caught proselytizing or trying to convert people or having an unauthorized gathering, you can face 5 years in jail. They seemed pretty happy, didn't they, for facing 5 years in jail. They were bold witnesses. And when we got to the village, they said, you know, there's five houses in this village that aren't Christian. Will you go to those houses and share with them about Jesus? So we went to those houses. Nearly every home in that little village is Christian because the witness of that little church, they're bold witness for Jesus. Maybe we could dream for a second. What would it look like for God to move in Minneota? What would it look like to see God breathe upon this community? Because God's people have been faithfully praying and witnessing how good and great God is. Wow, it would change, wouldn't it? Maybe the bars, I probably shouldn't say that, maybe, but the bars might close down. We wouldn't need a policeman, right? This is what happened in Birmingham, in the city I grew up in. In 1906, there was a citywide revival. Over 1 million people in that city, 2 million today. And the buses would drive people to work. People would be singing hymns on the buses. The bars shut down. The policeman had nothing to do. The revival in Wales, this was an account too. They asked the policeman, what are you doing now? They said, well, we formed singing quartets and we go and sing in the churches. These were the policemen who were supposed to be arresting people and putting them in jail. What could happen if God would awaken his church in America? We could see the Spirit of God poured out and families be healed and marriages be restored. People set free from drug addiction, from pornography, from alcohol addiction. What could happen if God's people do what God said? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then from heaven I will hear their cry and heal their land. Amen. Our hope is not in President Trump. Our hope is not in the politicians that spin the truth and tell us stories. But our hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's not too late for America. That God's promise still holds true. If my people who are called by my name, brothers and sisters, Bethel Fellowship Church, will you rise up to your calling? Will we rise up to God's calling? To be people who are set apart for the kingdom, who love God more than they love their jobs and their money and their houses and careers, and are willing to say, God, I want to be used by you no matter what the cost. Even if it costs me my own life, God, I'm willing to serve you in my generation. The cost of discipleship has not changed. In Luke 9:23, people came to Jesus and said, oh, we want to follow you. And Jesus said, do you really want to follow me? If you want to follow me, take up your cross and deny yourself and die daily. And all those people knew that the cross was a symbol of Roman torture. If somebody was carrying a cross, they weren't coming back again. There was one thing they were going to do. They were going to die. Are we willing to die for Jesus? Are we willing to live for Him? Jesus goes on to say in those next few verses, He said, if you want to keep your life, then lose it. If you want to lose your life, then keep it. But if you want to make a difference in your generation, if I want to make a difference in my generation, we have to be willing to pay the cost. It's simple, but it's not easy. But the terms of discipleship have not changed, have they? Since Jesus spoke those words 2,000 years ago. It says in Peter that we're a called out people, a peculiar people who God has brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. We should be different. Our lives should speak of Jesus, our spending habits, our hobbies, the time that we have available to us should speak of Jesus. And I'm not preaching to anybody but myself this morning. It's been stirring in my heart. God's been convicting me of my passivity, my lack of gospel focus, my love of the things of this world. In 1 John 1:15, John says this, doesn't he? He said, don't love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if that verse is true, that means that our love of God is mutually exclusive to a love of the world. We can't love the world and love God. Brothers and sisters, these things cannot be. These things cannot be. We can't say on a Sunday morning that we love Jesus and then live like He doesn't exist the rest of the week. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. If we really believe that. And I've been so thankful and privileged to see Hindus kneeling down and accepting Christ. And I got to preach at a Buddhist shrine on one of the mountains and declare that Jesus is Lord. And we went into the Buddhist village and one or two people committed their lives to Christ. But the gospel is powerful. It changes our lives, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. Think of what we were like. Think of our propensities to sin and darkness and uncleanness. And God stepped into our lives. Not just that we would be an end in ourselves, but that we would be ambassadors of Christ. Where we work, where we live, where we play. I got to share Jesus in a hot tub in a fitness center. It was great. It was kind of surreal, but I thought, wow, well, wherever I am, I can share the Lord, right? Wherever we go, we can share Jesus. Wherever we go. Brothers and sisters, this is exciting, isn't it? That God puts His power, He puts His treasure in earthen vessels, right? He's not expecting us to be perfect. And He knows that we're frail. Let's look at, you guys probably remember this verse, one of my favorite verses, I've quoted it before, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Let's just wrap up here. Because I know a lot of times you feel like me, you know, you're stirred, but yet you know, oh God, my propensities are to passivity. And I can get embarrassed or I can feel intimidated. Right? We get intimidated so easily. What are people going to say about me? What will they think about me? Right? What are they going to say about me when I leave the room? Especially with our families, right? People in town that we live with, it's so hard, isn't it? We get kind of intimidated so easily. Let's look at these verses here. Verse 26, for consider your calling, my brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Amen? Hallelujah! Not many of you were wise. That's me. Yeah, that's me. Not a wise person, right? Not many were powerful. Yeah, that's me. Not many were of noble birth. That's definitely not me. Right? I don't think anybody in here was born to nobility. Maybe I'm wrong, but I could be wrong. But this is great, isn't it? 27, but God chose what is foolish. Now just think about that a second. God, the creator of the universe, who spoke the world into being, who understands and knows every one of us, 7. So many billion on the earth right now, that this God says, I have chosen you. I've picked you for my team, is what it means. Right? Yeah. Maybe, did you pick teams in America when you were kids? Yeah. We played football or not soccer, you call it. Right? And I was usually one of the last ones to get picked. Right? It wasn't like Kevin, you know, he's a basketball. He's probably one of the first guys that got picked. I was always one of the last ones to get picked, a little bit on the slow side, plenty of, you know, gusto, but not much skill. But God has chosen us. God has chosen us in our weakness, in our lack of strength, in our low birth, right? God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. And Paul says at the beginning, he says, remember your calling. Okay, so this challenge that I've given to share your faith, you might say, well, I'm not very good at it. That's okay. Remember your calling. That God has chosen the weak and the foolish, the things that are not, to confound the things that are. So even if it's faulting and even if it's failing, let's share about Jesus. Amen? I've made so many mistakes. I've made so many errors. But sometimes just a little word is enough for the Holy Spirit to drop a seed of truth into that life. There are many stories that I could tell of just a little word that somebody spoke. And we know in our own lives, oftentimes it was just a little bit of truth that began to germinate in our hearts, and God, through the Holy Spirit, began to use. We don't have to be experts. We just have to be faithful. Amen? That's what Jesus said to the servant, wasn't it? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. He was just a servant. We just have to be faithful. My boss, the pastor I work for, says this a lot. He said, Steve, we need some fat people. The first time he said it, I was like, wow, brother, that's a little bit on the edge, you know. We've got to be politically correct here. And he said, yes, we need fat people, faithful, available and trustworthy. Amen? God isn't looking for superheroes. He's looking for ordinary people who'll say yes to Jesus. And I've seen this time and time again. You didn't see it. There's a guy in there, Tim Sosnowski, who is a electrical engineer. He speaks really slowly. He thinks about everything he says. And I asked him to come. He said, Steve, I could never make it in Nepal. He was on a trip to Peru with us, and he said, I've never shared the gospel with anybody. And he said, I've certainly never seen anyone come to Christ. He said, I'm slow. He said, my words don't come out fast. He's just one of those guys, like if you tell a story, it takes like twice as long as it ordinarily does. It's like, come on, Tim, get to the point, brother, you know. But I said, Tim, you know, God can use you. So he came with us, and he led a bunch of people to Christ. And he said, Steve, this has changed my life. He's just, I mean, there's no just an ordinary guy. But what I'm saying is that God wants to use you. If he can use me, he can use you. God wants to use you. You just have to be faithful, available, and trustworthy. It could just be a little word. It could just be a little, you know, what did you do yesterday? Well, I went to church and this strange guy from England spoke. And yeah, but you know what I mean? It could just be a little testimony. When someone says, well, how are you today? You say, you know what? I'm really doing well. I read a really good Bible verse this morning. You could share. I mean, it doesn't have to be like a rock star sharing, you know? You don't have to go through G-O-S-P-E-L, right? That's how we train people. But you don't just be faithful in the little things. And then God will begin to increase and give you more opportunity. So imagine getting to heaven and somebody meeting you and saying, you know, when you shared with me that time, that really blessed me. That really changed me. It really spoke to me. Brothers and sisters, God wants to use you right where you are in Minneota, Minnesota, in Marshall or in Canby, right? God wants to use us for his glory. And it's not about us. It's not about how good we are, how skilled we are. It's about just being surrendered to him and letting him use us for his glory. Amen? It's what God wants to do. He wants to use us for his glory. I got a little off track there, but I've got lots of notes, but I'm not going to go through them. Just encourage you, brothers and sisters, that the gospel is powerful. He's given it to you. He's put his spirit within you. And his power to be his witness. So the people around you, God has brought them specifically. There's no accidents. There's no chance meetings. Right? At the coffee shop one day, I asked the barista, I said, hey, can I pray for you? And I think Amy was there, either Amy or Ellie work in Caribou. I can't remember which one of you were there, but was it you, Amy? And the girl's face just changed. She said, what? I can't believe you're asking to pray for me. She said, I've just texted my youth pastor and told him that I'm falling away from my faith and I need help. So I had to pray for her. I just prayed for her, a little prayer. But it was just one more thing that God was speaking to her. And I was a little bit embarrassed in asking her because, you know, she was like younger than me and I just kind of a little bit awkward. And I was like, well, I'm just going to be obedient. Can I pray for you? And so I just encourage you to just be obedient to the Holy Spirit that prompts you. You know, it doesn't have to be great. It can be bumbling and fumbling, but God wants to use you to change this city, to change our cities. He wants to use even me to do things that are way beyond anything we could have imagined. So I just want to ask you a question. Is anybody like, you guys want to do this? Do you want to make a difference in your generation? Maybe we could stand up together and just ask God, God, fill us with your spirit. Use us for your glory. Even me, Lord. Even me. Should we stand up and just ask God to do that for us today? Amen. Father, we just ask you to do what only you can do. Lord, we just confess that we are earthen vessels. But God, your word says that you put your glory in jars of clay, people like us. So Father, I pray for Bethel Fellowship Church this morning. I pray for my own church, for Grace Church. Pray for my own life. Lord, fill me anew with your spirit. Lord, we want power to be witnesses. We want to make a difference in our neighborhoods. Lord, we want to be life changers. We want to be people who speak gospel words of life to people. Help us to take those little nudgings of the Holy Spirit, those promptings. Lord, will you keep giving us those promptings even when we don't always obey them? Will you use us, Lord, for people who are going to hell? Lord, and your word says, how will they know unless someone tells them? So, Father, we pray, use us for your glory wherever we are. I think of Bob here driving truck and running this gravel company, Kevin at State Farm, Paul working on the farm, interacting with all the different suppliers. Lord, there's loads of people you brought into our life. God, we pray, use us for your glory. Oh, Father, we don't want to be ashamed when we meet you on that day. We want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Father, we ask you for power. Power to be different. We ask you for power, Lord, for your glory. Lord, that your name would be made famous on the earth. That all the nations would hear the name of Jesus. Would worship you and give you the rightful honor and praise that's due your name. So, Father, we just commit our souls to you this morning. Sue, can you come up and play Worthy is the Lamb? Let's close with that song, Worthy is the Lamb. Lord, you're so worthy of every human being. Every praise, every glory, every honor belongs to you. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown him now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Yes, we thank you, Lord, that you shall see the travail of your soul and be satisfied. So use us for your glory, Lord, we pray.